Every year on the anniversary of the tragic attacks of 9/11, we feature the heroic work of September 11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And this year is no exception. On the 19th anniversary of these deadly attacks, I'm very grateful to welcome Layla Murphy to State of Belief Radio. Layla, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Would you start by talking briefly about the incredibly painful loss that you personally experienced on 9/11?
Yes. So my father, Brian Murphy, worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, and he was killed in the attacks. He was working there on the day and was killed in the attacks, and I was 3 years old at the time.
So many people reacted to the attacks with thoughts only of revenge and retribution. This is a profoundly human response. What drew you to the radically different response championed by September 11 Families of Peaceful Tomorrows?
Yeah, so I didn't hear of the group until 2018 when I read an article written by one of the members about her experience traveling to Guantanamo to observe the military commissions of five men accused of planning the attacks, which are still in pretrial hearings. And I was fascinated. First of all, I didn't know anything about the commissions. I think there's been a real effort from the beginning to kind of keep what happens there outside of the public view. But I also did not know that there were other family members of 9/11 victims who shared my political leanings and beliefs. For a long time, I felt like I did not really have a place in the 9/11 community. I was often hesitant to tell people about my identity as a family member of a 9/11 victim, particularly when I learned more about the ways that the media and politicians often portray the victims, that we all want revenge for our loss. I was resistant to that victim label since I knew that did not represent my own beliefs. So doing my involvement with this organization has kind of showed me that instead of denying that part of my identity altogether, it's possible to use that identity to advance a perspective of peace.
Where do you see the organization having its greatest impact? What is your focus?
Yeah, so I think that there's a few ways. One of the ways I've been thinking about recently is the potential to change the narrative around victimhood, and particularly the association of victimhood with revenge. So I think that this is particularly in the context of 9/11, but more broadly as well, since there's a sense in our society that you're a bad victim if you do not want revenge. But in reality, politicians have often used victims in service of broader political aims. So I think that our organization can change the narrative around what victims should or should not feel, and also hold those in authority accountable to be responsible for the power they have. And if we do not, as victims, do not fit into the views of what those in power tell us victims are supposed to believe or think, how can we hold those in authority accountable to tell them not to justify more violence through our pain?
Has doing this work been helpful for you as a part of the healing process?
Yes, it really has. As I mentioned, I was often growing up, I think I was afraid of being pitied or being defined by my loss. And I also, it was hard for me to accept that this very personal loss had been kind of thrown into the public eye. But all of the members of the group have experienced that, that very personal loss made public, put on display. So doing this work has kind of helped me to grapple with that identity, to realize that there's no one way to be a victim. There's no way to deal with this type of loss. And also that whether or not I like it, this is a part of my story. This is a part of who I am. And I feel like it is possible to find a space within that identity that is true to my own values, stands for what I believe in, and the people in Peaceful Tomorrows have helped me through that.
Layla, I know from my own experience that different people do their healing in different ways. The way that you have gone about showing your sorrow, how has that been in relation to how other members of your family have done that?
You know, I think it's very different. I was so young on the day. I actually have no memories of my father. I have no memories of the day or of the time of the attacks. So I think my healing process was quite different. I really did not grapple with the effect of my father's loss and of the attacks until I was much, much older. So that has really changed my healing process and showed me that there's no one timeline of experiencing grief, of dealing with loss. And, you know, it comes up in other ways. I think that for some of my family members who were there on the day itself, the day of 9/11 is perhaps more important or more meaningful in a sense in that it's very potent, the memory of that, versus for me, I often experience my loss more concretely on days like Father's Day or my father's birthday or when I learn more about him. So it's a very different relationship to my father and to the loss itself.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I think among our listeners, there are other people that identify with almost all of the ways in which they've tried to handle this. Layla, we see a very dark time coming for our country after the November 3rd election. What do Americans who seem ready to resort to violence against fellow citizens need to hear from someone so profoundly affected by violence like you are?
So I think that there is a tendency that we have as human beings when we feel a deep pain or loss to want to blame someone else for that pain. It feels easier, more manageable, perhaps, like we suffered this loss, so you must be to blame. And there's this need to invoke violence as part of addressing this loss. There's the idea that violence will help to make the victims feel better. But this narrative, first of all, it doesn't work. More violence does not bring anyone back to life. And it doesn't really deal with the real consequences of the trauma and of the loss. And this narrative, I find it's also in our culture, I think we have a tendency to kind of idealize victims or put victims on this pedestal of 100% purity, and then we seek to point the blame at some identified or unidentified perpetrator. But there's no such thing as 100% purity or 100% blame. In this narrative, there's no kind of curiosity about why this happened in the first place. Like in the 9/11 context, what was our country's own role in the events that led up to the attacks? And can we think about the harm caused after the attacks as well as a result of the war on terror? So I think that we can all learn from that in terms of having more curiosity about our own loss and the pain we feel, and more curiosity about how to deal with it how to deal with the harm caused in a more holistic way.
I've got to ask you this, the way you've answered that question, what have we still not learned about the eye for an eye approach the Bush administration launched in 2001 and 2002?
I think that we have not learned that more violence creates more problems and just leads to more pain and does not answer the real consequences of the harm that was caused. I think we also haven't learned really how to grieve. I think that our country often responds to violence with response to real pain and loss with the need for more violence, without even stopping for a second to grieve in a real way, not grieving in a way of listing off the victims or building more public memorials, but to really understand in a holistic way the harm that was caused and the pain and the loss that so many experienced.
Leila, how can our listeners keep up with the vitally important, I would even call it prophetic work of September 11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows? And is there a way to support that work?
Yes, definitely. So you can find us on social media, Peaceful Tomorrows. You can find our website as well, doing a quick search for September 11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And we are always looking for support. Many of the volunteers of Peaceful Tomorrows, we go to Guantanamo to observe the military commissions, are acting to challenge Islamophobia, to challenge the racist practices of the current administration and of all administrations. So there are definitely ways to support that ongoing work.
Leila Murphy lost her father in the 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers in Lower Manhattan. She currently serves on the steering committee of Peaceful Tomorrows and is also a member of PT's Rule of Law campaign and action in support of closing the prison camp at Guantanamo. Leila, thank you so much for taking time in a very busy week to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, things will not be easy. You all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right. If there's